This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we are discussing where does most of your information about artificial intelligence come from? Is it tech websites? Is it movies and sci-fi documentaries or something else? Do let us know. What are the numbers?
The numbers are 38.4% tech websites, 31.4% movies and sci-fi, 22.1% documentaries, and 8.1% other.
Christine, what have you got over on Instagram right now?
We just have a response from Route 1 Gene, who says podcasts.
Interesting stuff. Number ending 0812 says, my tinfoil hat said it's to train facial recognition algorithms to simulate and predict aging.
Ooh.
That's a very, very good point, actually.
Might not be so tinfoil.
Yeah, not so tinfoil at all. But if you are interested in this kind of stuff, of course, you can tune in tomorrow to listen to Matt Splain. Tomorrow is an episode about how science is slick, AI's remarkably weird world. We'll be talking about robots that get stronger as they work out, drones with honeybee brains, art-loving AI, and vein recognition systems. That's all on tomorrow's show. Mm. Christine, what are you talking about?
Well, we've been talking about the progression of technology for the whole show, and this is kind of in that vein, except that the progression may be a bit too slow. So while the 10-year My Digital Plan will put the government on track to spur the high-potential sector, many have said the initiative appears convoluted and lacks vigor in terms of what it sets out to achieve. This is all based on an article from the Malay Mail. So Jasmine Loa, founder of Recommend.my, described it as crawling towards the moon, telling the Malay Mail that the first 2 years of phase one are mostly reviewing policies and laws and appointment of CDOs and creating circulars, and it really shouldn't be taking 2 to 3 years to define these things. So that's kind of the plan's initial stage. Then the next phase of the government's plan is dedicated to digitization and widening connectivity. Among its key targets is the digitization of up to 800,000 small to medium enterprises and schools. And observers have said while the target may be laudable, it seems far-fetched because the effort requires massive resources. Mm. Part of the current plan is also that up to 56 billion ringgit will be invested into the initiative by both public and private sectors. Half of that is supposed to be spent on bolstering infrastructures to widen connectivity and boost internet speed, which is, of course, crucial if the country is to see 5G networks usable by the mid-decade. The overall aim for My Digital is to be the core thrust that makes Malaysia a regional e-commerce powerhouse as well as a tech hub, with another target to nurture 5,000 startups and up to 5 unicorn companies. But unicorn companies are really rare, with less than 1,000 of them existing worldwide.
That's the whole point of them.
Correct. Mm. And data from CB Insights, which is a company that tracks startups, showed that only 1 out of 10 companies have achieved unicorn status in the last decade, indicating a high chance of failure. So that fact has prompted local skepticism about My Digital and the Blueprint's goals. Among the reasons cited are the country's lack of focus on which market or areas it wants to excel in, and talent scarcity. Other industry players also felt that the Blueprint should be more aggressive, as they noted the government's commitment to help the sector boom. Aaron Sarma, as well, a former head of digital development at MDEC, said the initiative appeared to be aiming low, citing its productivity and connectivity targets. Quote, the blueprint states it'll take 5 years to have 100% household internet connectivity, but we're already at 90.1% today. So to go to 5 years to 100% is too slow. Mm. Then they want the digital economy's GDP contribution to account for 22.6% by 2025, but it's 19.1% in 2019. I think we have to do better. There are just too many people and agencies involved. It's too bloated, and I'm worried that this will make them less agile and move slowly to hinder progress. There are also concerns that the private sector involvement will take a backseat, even as their roles are outlined for each cluster. Aaron said that there are ecosystem builders, there's talent in the market. The government does not have to do this alone anymore. In the next 18 months, the public sector, in partnership with the private sector and academia, could make a huge impact.
So this is interesting because, and I know like a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but I think a good blueprint to follow in a way, and I don't know if I know enough to say this, is the way Singapore does things, especially for their startup sector. So we've spoken to some Singapore entrepreneurs before, some Singapore businesses, and they say that it's mainly the ease of foreign investors coming in and putting money into Singaporean companies, one, and investing in their own companies in Singapore that sort of like boomed their startup scene, their SME scene. And it sort of gave them a lot of, it gave them life in the beginning. And now Singapore has like a robust startup platform. Yeah. So I don't know, regionally, if we wanna replicate anyone's sort of way of doing things and success, that would be a good place to start. But again, I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this because it's a Malaysia-Singapore thing.
Mm.
But it's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's okay for people to say, oh, you know, it's single. It's facts.
It is facts.
The problem
facts.
Is here, to you have to jump through so many hoops and there's so much red tape and things happen so slowly, you know, that it makes things really difficult. And I know we're open to investment and we're open to bringing people here and we want that. But sometimes we're our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, we shoot ourselves in the foot.
I think that's what this piece is saying, right?
Yeah, like I'm really proud to be Malaysian, but the fact of the matter is there's a reason why Singapore is more well-known on the world map and not us, and that's because we keep getting in our own way. Mm. I found it really interesting with this article, the fact that there are kind of two main issues, right? This idea that we're kind of spreading the aims too widely across, you know, and also the fact that we're not being aggressive enough. So I think it's a very weird problem that, you know, those two are the main issues that Blueprint is facing right now.
So there's this other thing, right, about awareness. So a few weeks ago, I spoke to BaseFX. Mm-hmm. So they are the guys who worked on the Mandalorian and stuff. And I asked them, like, why is it that people think of Singapore as Asia's Hollywood instead of Malaysia? Right? Why do they go to Singapore and go like, you know, all the big movies are made there, all the good CGI visual effects are made there and stuff. And they said it's actually not. In on an industry level, a lot of people look at Malaysia for jobs as well. It's just that awareness-wise, Singapore is like Hollywood or the US, and Malaysia is like Toronto in Canada.
Right.
So we get a lot of work. We get a lot of stuff flowing in. It's just that the awareness is sort of lacking. Whereas, like, you go to Singapore and they're like, oh, Pixar gives all their movies there. You know, like Hollywood studios sign contracts with them, you know, by the day, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, right?
Stuff to fix. Stuff to fix, yeah.
Well, you know what? It's Friday tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So things are going to be okay. Right? Because then we've got a weekend coming. Final numbers of the day on the polls, please, sir.
38.6% tech websites, where they get most of their information about AI. 31.8% movies and sci-fi. 21.6% documentaries and 8% other.
Right. Arvin was talking about that topic, and it's because he was looking at it from this perspective.
There's a book that came out that teaches kids about AI in a friendly way, which is different from the way we learned about AI. So moving into the future, maybe they won't have as much fear of the tech as we do.
All right. And then we move on to a story about definitely some fear in tech in schools. Facial recognition in schools. Is it a step too far?
And our final story was about fear of not moving it fast enough in tech with the backlash against the My Digital Blueprint. Mm.
Okay, that's what we were speaking about throughout the show today. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast and have a listen back a little bit later on, however you'd normally do it. We recommend downloading that BFM app and having a listen there. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. The Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia was downgraded by the US Federal Aviation Administration 2 years ago for failing to meet International Civil Aviation Organization safety standards. What implications has that had? The Breakfast Grill were joined by Captain Chester Vu Chi Soon to talk all about that. If you missed it, have a listen back just after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, we've got Sweet with Ballroom Blitz. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.